Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. And this day, 1420 or something, of the Russo-Ukrainian War, surpassed a significant milestone 2 days ago when this war lasted longer for Russia and indeed Ukraine than the Second World War. Putin, who is constantly banging on about the Second World War, encouraging toddlers to dress up in Second World War era uniforms, is the great patriotic war of Velikaya or Otchestvennaya, I'm going to keep pronouncing it, Otchestvennaya Vina. So always invoking that is always the Second World War all over again. But of course, there's a case with Western politicians as well. Every foe is the new Hitler, and it's appeasement. It's 1938. It's Munich all over again. If you don't go to war, things like that. So it's hard to overestimate how much that's part of the Russian national psyche, because of course they suffered so much, but the Ukrainians suffered even more, because you only need to consult a map. Ukraine being that bit further west, and that's where most of the battles were fought. Some in Belarus, obviously some of the Baltic states, some in Russia itself. Okay, and of course it was the Soviet Union, not Russia itself, was fighting back then. 1941, Russians comprised about 50% of the population of the Soviet Union. The Ukrainians, somewhere below 25%. Remember, they suffered the Holodomor not long before, that genocide deliberately caused by the Soviet government, and so on. So not being remotely anti-Russian, no one's bad for being Russian or Ukrainian, any other nationality or ethnicity. And actually, it was a Georgian who was right at the top. Okay, Stalin, Djugashvili, call the blighter by his proper name. So anyone who doesn't agree with Putin is a Nazi. And although he disagrees with the communists economically, he does like his totalitarianism. So anyone left or right who questions him is a Nazi and so on. But obviously you can see the totalitarian checklists, and he checks almost every single box and so on. But going back to the communist playbook and claiming you're either support my totalitarianism or you're a Nazi, and there are no other political positions. When, as Churchill said, that communism and Nazism were opposite, though similar, you know? Okay, so I go back to this. And remember, because you can't have free elections, that's Nazism. You can't have free speech, that's Nazism. You can't have the right to strike, that's Nazism. You can't have fair elections, that's Nazism. You can't have a free press, that's Nazism. You can't have no torture, that's Nazism. You can't have independent courts, that's Nazism, according to Putin, because see how democracy is succeeding in Ukraine, and Russians say we might like some of that. Now, there are problems in Ukraine, sure, and there's corruption, not bad as bad as Russia's corruption. And hilariously, one of the grounds he cited to invade Ukraine is, oh, they've got significant corruption. Well, that is true. But as I say, why do you invade Russia then? Because it's even worse. And who's corrupting them? Sometimes it's Russians. So the Red Army, as he likes to say, well, that is the Russian army. But, you know, the Soviet Union never would have won without Ukraine. It was a very close run thing anyway. How would you do without 25% of your manpower? And obviously the Soviet government had treated the Ukraine so horrendously, some of them thought the Third Reich wasn't so bad because they'd suffered genocide at the hands of the Soviet Union. And when the Third Reich came in, they were particularly trying to annihilate Jews, and they did horrific atrocities at Babi Yar and other places in Ukraine. But they ethnic Ukrainians they weren't going for so much. There were some massacres of indigenous Ukrainian civilians. And I know it becomes very unclear who's Russian, who's Ukrainian. Many people have mixed ethnicity. What if you're born in, Russia to Ukrainian parents, or Ukrainian or Russian, both, or what? You could be ethnically Ukrainian but not speak the Ukrainian language, and so forth. So now the Soviet Union, they got all the way from Moscow to Berlin, about 1,500 kilometers in that time, in under 4 years. Because, of course, for the Soviet Union, the Second World War began the 22nd of June, 1944, with Operation Barbarossa, the Wehrmacht attacking the Soviet Union. And it ended 9th of May, 1945. That's in Moscow time. It's about 1 in the morning when that German instrument of surrender was signed. Obviously, it's 8th of May, almost midnight in Berlin. Of course, you could say, well, really, they invaded Poland in September 1939. That's true, but they don't count. That's part of the Second World War. Russia chooses to overlook the fact that it was a co-belligerent of Germany and started the Second World War along with Nazi Germany. So it shows how pathetic that the Russian armed forces are. that they can't even defeat Ukraine when the Soviet Union was fighting a superpower, Germany, which had the second biggest economy in the world. And that's partly because they had annexed all those countries. They'd taken some of Poland and they'd oppressed and enslaved various people, millions of slave laborers and so on. Nevertheless, despite all these foul means, there's no question it was a very big economy. And the Soviet Union was smaller, but they still managed to defeat them. The Russian economy is about 10 times bigger than the Ukrainian economy, and they still can't defeat them. So they outnumbered Germany about 2.5 to 1. They outnumber Ukraine about 3.5 to 1, and they still can't beat them. Now, it's true that Ukraine has military aid and financial aid from various Western countries. But again, the Soviet Union had other major superpowers on their side, the United Kingdom, which then meant the British Empire, and the United States, had the Free French or whoever else, or Yugoslavia briefly, and so on. And obviously much of the British Empire was self-governing, like Canada, Australia, South Africa, and so forth, had China on their side, had many, many countries on their side. The Red Army managed to advance 1,500 kilometers. In a sense, there's even more. If you look at the maximum point of penetration of the Wehrmacht, getting all the way down to Chechnya, you know, it's more like 2,500 kilometers. Whereas the Russian army's advanced about 150 kilometers. And that's a very, very poor showing. To advance, it's just not very far at all. So as war's dragging on, it's not exactly blitzkrieg like the Second World War. It's more like the First World War, trench warfare, not meaning you're safe in your trench, because obviously drones, first-person view drones, can target you there. Sometimes fishing nets can stop them coming in. There's been technological innovation. So it's not really galvanized the people behind this, trying not to conscript too many people, trying to conscript ethnic minority people disproportionately from poverty-stricken regions, persuaded from abroad to come to Russia to supposedly work in factory work or be security guards. And obviously they're duped and they're pressed into military service, these meat attacks, their lives frittered away in diversionary moves, just as a decoy from the main thrust of the professional and well-trained, well-armed troops. But yeah, so it shows, throws into embarrassingly sharp relief the gross underperformance of the Russian armed forces. And that's one of the few good things to come out of this war, a few reassuring things, that their army, navy, and air force are so poor. And actually, even their fifth generation fighters, they haven't even dared risk any of them. So they've actually been very risk averse with their navy. Why so circumspect, with the air force? Partly because he knows he's at a major technological disadvantage against Western countries, like at least a generation behind. He does have quite a number of planes, but if two of them get destroyed in Ukraine, then if there was to be a war against any other Western country, then he'd be at even more of a disadvantage. So I thought that's the Achilles heel. That's a way to get him by destroying more of his air force. And that's going to say the price is too high. We better pull out. I don't care if hundreds of thousands of my men get killed, but not my precious planes. Wow, because when it was the Second World War, they said, that's it. This is the sacred war, Svayeshnaya Vayna, and we're just going to cancel all holidays, work through the weekends, do whatever it takes. Yeah, use massive scale state terror, and millions of people will be killed, but we will prevail in the end. And that worked. Whereas he's trying not to put the Russian people too far in a way to let life continue as normal. It had to raise taxes, had to cut spending in various areas. Some businesses going bust, going so much into debt. There'll probably be a banking crisis by the end of this year. And various Russian banks said that there was a serious risk of that. They said that last year that was going to happen, could happen easily by the end of 2026. So I think the situation is probably even worse than he allows. He gained out the Stalin and the Soviet Union, they gained allies in the Second World War. They've lost them now. You know, only five countries voted their way in the United Nations vote on this Ukraine war: Venezuela, Nicaragua, Eritrea, Belarus, and North Korea. Oh, sorry, and Iran. Make that six. And obviously, the dictator of Venezuela has been taken out. Some of the others may be taken out. So their world has created. So that's it. Anyway, it is horrendous. It's a very lachrymose situation. And I regret almost every death. I realize that they're good people and bad people on both sides. You're not a bad person to have to be whatever nationality to be drafted into this war, to be befooled by the propaganda, to want to think the best of your country, and out of some sense of blind loyalty or some sort of fraternity with your comrades, whatever your doubts about the war, to go along with it, saying, okay, even if we are immoral, but I won't allow my country to lose, and so forth, or we'll just fight whilst I negotiate peace, and so on. It's true, majority of Russians do want to negotiate. So they're not up for his maximalist aims, but I don't think Putin is. It's astonishing that he's still going for it. And he's played Donald Trump like a fool. Trump is even thicker than I thought. And that's really saying something. Here we are almost a year after his re-inauguration. And he still hasn't brought that ceasefire within the 24 hours. Putin has messed him around, has publicly humiliated him endlessly, while still paying lip service to the idea of parley, of a ceasefire. And Trump hasn't taken serious action. It's actually kind of the Iran situation in a way is a good thing for Trump, because that's distracting Trump's attention. Good thing for Putin, that Trump's attention is distracted. Trump's inattention is notorious. And then obviously Trump might get sidetracked into things like Colombia, Nicaragua, Venezuela, anywhere, take his eye off the ball. So, well, that is the situation. So this war could go on for even for another 5 years. I remember 2022 thinking it would last 10 weeks. And then 2023, I soon realized it would last into 2024. And 2024, I realized it was going to last into 2026, think it might end of this year. But, you know, last year, I began to realize 2025 is going to last into 2028, I would say, at least, even if it dials down to be a low-level conflict bubbling away between 2014 and 2022. That Donbass conflict was a limited conflict. That's maybe the best we can hope for in the short term. All right. Thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan790@gmail.com. Goodbye.